This podcast is for informational purposes only and does not constitute legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. It is not intended to cause or induce breach of an existing agency agreement.
Hello?
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 This is the Vancouver
Commercial
Real Estate Podcast.
And welcome back to the Vancouver Commercial Real Estate Podcast. I'm Corey Wright.
And I'm Melissa Moretti.
And you know what's one thing I do is I don't necessarily listen to all the episodes because I just find it really weird listening to the episode when we're like reliving it, when we're talking it. But I put a lot of emphasis on the wrong syllables when I'm talking, like the William Wright or like the Vancouver Commercial Real Estate Podcast. Like I always emphasize as if people don't know it's commercial. So I will do my best to just say welcome back to the Vancouver Commercial Real Estate Podcast in one easy flowing word, not emphasizing the word commercial like it's that much better than the residential podcast. So there we go. So on the show today, we have Shelby Costician and Nick Renton from our William Wright Commercial Kelowna office. Maybe we're going to be uncovering what might be the best value for industrial potentially in the greater Kelowna, South Okanagan area.
Oh,
we're going to find out all about that. We talk about a great market up there that typically is not talked about a lot, but there is a lot happening in it. So we wanted to shed some light on this market. So we reached out to Shelby and Nick to join us because there's lots of exciting stuff going on. And then when you drive through it to get to Kelowna, I'm always surprised how big it's getting. So that's why we wanted to bring them on to talk all about. Yeah, well, you have to wait a few more minutes.
Where is this?
You have to wait a few more minutes.
Mystical place.
We'll let them uncover it.
Okay.
Speaking of mystical places, you just told me you got back from a trip where you were, let me get straight, you were camping in the Rockies, not like at a hotel, like you were camping on a mountain in the Rockies.
In a tent.
Minus two with wild animals.
Yeah.
First thing goes in my head is why?
For the adventure. That's right.
For the adventure.
Believe it or not, I was hot at nighttime. I wore several layers of wool and I had a sleeping bag that was down. That's good to -9. I woke up at 12:30 and I was like, whew, it's hot in here.
Jeez, just like Nelly. Well, here's the question I have for you before we get into this episode here is obviously interest rates are coming down. We have a meeting, I believe at the end of this, I'm not sure, 24th, 23rd, 28th, end of this month, another meeting, December 11th from the feds. I think there's optimism that maybe we might see 50 basis points because our friends down south went 50 bips. So maybe that opens the door for us to go 50 bips. We'll see. Mm-hmm. But how is this stimulating or not stimulating the residential side of the market? Commercial, we're lights out busy. What are you seeing on your side? I'm really curious to hear.
Yeah, I think people are still sort of just waiting.
Yeah.
I'm feeling like buyers anyways. Yeah. Inventory's piled up. It's sort of the same story that we've had for the last
while. Is that hurry up and wait kind of like how low can they go type of thing?
I think it's a little bit of no sense of urgency, a lot of choice. You know, my buyers are serious, but not moving very quickly.
There will come a point where if people are waiting for rates to drop, there will come a point where they're going to drop and that's going to spur the market. Prices might move. So don't wait to the bottom.
And
no one ever times it right, but don't wait to the bottom.
That's how I always frame it to my clients. You don't want, now is a great time to be a buyer.
Absolutely.
You don't want to be a buyer in the market where interest rates have gone down and everybody decides to come back.
Oh, if you go back to like the COVID time, which I don't think the money's ever going to get that low again. That was ridiculously low, but like people were putting offers on like silly things at silly numbers because they were losing out on so many other deals. They ended up buying things that they didn't want. I know a friend of mine, he bought a house and they wrote an offer unconditional and they got it and they almost kind of like were surprised they got it because they'd lost out on so many times. And I think they said they had to remind themselves what address because they'd offered so many different houses.
Yeah.
And then on top of it, the Globe and Mail publishes like these ridiculous deals out west, like kind of like, look what this house sold for and look at this house sold for. And he sent me the link because they published his house for what he paid for what it was in Vancouver.
Ooh.
And he was like, oh, but they're still there. Still there.
Yeah. Well, so,
I don't think I'll get back to that. So don't wait. And I think everyone thinks in Vancouver, if it doesn't double overnight, it's broken.
Yeah.
Real estate is still a medium to long-term game. There's not overnight kind of success like what people think there is from time to time. A lot of those days are probably behind us. Mm-hmm. So it's a matter of like if you're going to try to save an extra $25,000 on a $500,000 purchase, which is less than 1% of the purchase price, probably buy it now so you don't end up getting in a bidding war potentially, or buying it unconditional, going through rescission period, still going forward, and then finding out later you shouldn't have bought it. Like, now you have the time to do all your proper inspections and take your time. So don't wait.
That's right.
Don't wait. Speaking of not waiting, let's get to our interview today with Shelby and Nick from our William Wright Commercial Kelowna office, uncovering what we feel may be a very sneaky market to watch out for industrial, West Kelowna. Enjoy, guys. This podcast is presented by Impact Commercial.
Impact Commercial, John, Alan, the team over there are fantastic. They've all been on the show.
They have, yeah.
Friends of the show.
Great guys.
Wealth of experience. They can help with all your commercial financing needs.
Whether it's owner-occupiers, land development funds, commercial investments, or multifamily, these guys got you covered.
And they recently obtained their CMHC correspondent lender status.
So for all your commercial lending needs, visit them at impactcommercial.ca.
That's impactcommercial.ca.
We're here today with Shelby and Nick from William Wright Commercial Kelowna, talking all about the South Okanagan industrial market. Shelby, Nick, how are you guys doing today?
We're doing great, Corey. Thanks for having us on. Yeah, thanks, Corey.
Before we dig into it, can you guys tell us more about yourselves and how you ended up in commercial real estate?
Yeah, for sure. So I think this is probably my second time on the podcast here. I'm actually born and raised in Edmonton, Alberta. Got into commercial real estate kind of right out of university. I was working at Colliers, predominantly on the office leasing and sales team there for about 3 years. And then during COVID, my then fiance, now wife, we decided to pick up and moved to Kelowna, and I was fortunate enough to meet yourself, Corey, and Jeff Brown, our Kelowna and Kamloops managing director. And it's been awesome ever since.
Yeah. And myself, this is also my second time on the podcast. And I started my career in the banking sector. So I've kind of done all the different roles that you can within a bank, whether it's teller, commercial tellers, commercial banking, business banking, assistant branch manager. And for about 13 years, that was exactly what I was planning on doing. And a couple of clients of mine asked me if I could help them on the real estate side. And it kind of opened up my thoughts to what that avenue looked like. And same thing as Shelby, I met Jeff Brown and yourself, and we had a great connection there. And then, I've been in it now for 2.5 years, and it feels like our office here in Kelowna is really starting to take up some market share, and we've got a lot of exciting stuff on the go.
Tons of exciting stuff, and we're very fortunate to have you both on the podcast and part of the Kelowna office there. But guys, we wanted to dig in today, and it feels like, because we had Rain City on last week talking about industrial, we've got some other guests coming up talking about industrial markets. And not that we're trying to put an emphasis on it right now, but it does feel like it's a market that was booming for years, probably has an oversupply issue currently right now, but we're actually getting absorption of that. We can talk about that right now. But it feels like industrial is kind of starting to pull itself out and kind of going back on the same trajectory. What are we seeing like the South Okanagan markets?
Yeah, so like you alluded to, Corey, it's been definitely kind of the last 18 months have been, a more challenging time in the marketplace when we're, talking about specifically industrial, specifically the central or the South Okanagan. We saw such a run up the last, 5-6 years. Industrial land was trading at, all-time highs. New product industrial strata trading at all-time highs, lease rates, almost, doubled over that time, same time frame. And, and like anything, consecutive rate increases across the board have really put a bit of a damper on that over that kind of last, 12, 18 months. But we're definitely starting to see activity pick up again here after these last, rate, decreases. So it's been a bit of a transition time, I'd say, in the market is probably the best way to put it. We, as you also alluded to, the amount of supply that's come on, specifically in the Kelowna market, has obviously had an impact on that as well. But, we've having a lot of really interesting conversations with users, both on the leasing and, purchase side here the last, 2-3 months, and definitely seeing activity, start to pick up pick up again, which has been very promising.
Well, I know one thing we talk about here on the podcast quite a bit is like the secondary markets, Kelowna being one of those markets, or the greater Kelowna area being one of those markets. Shelby, when we had you on before, we put some highlights on the Vernon market there as well, which seems to be a good spinoff market, halo effect type of thing. It feels like obviously if we look at the trajectory of industrial, there's been a huge surge of demand over the past decade, but if not, you know, if we isolate it more like 5 years, zonings have become more flexible, developers have been more creative from size, users and buyers have been more creative. Also, you've had a lot of investors that have entered that marketplace just with the surge that's happened in it. And also, when you look at it from a price per foot metric, it's always traditionally been the cheaper asset class versus office and industrial, or office and retail. But you've had a lot of investors enter the marketplace, a lot of product coming online, and then boom, interest rates just take off and probably hurt that asset class more than most on the interest rate side. Obviously, the office market is challenged because of COVID, but the interest rate side, because a lot of these end users that are buying these smaller industrial spaces, 2,500, 3,500 square feet, they get greatly impacted by that. Then maybe they go from trying to be a buyer to continuing their journey as a tenant. So it seems like we had an oversupply, but it does feel like now some of that supply is slowly getting absorbed. Are you guys kind of seeing the same thing up there in the greater Kelowna area?
Yeah, and I would say the conversation that we're having a lot with, as Shelby alluded to, both, you know, really across the board, whether it's with conversations with landlords, developers, purchasers, or clients looking for lease space, the challenge that you had in the Kelowna market, especially, but with all these new builds, is a lot of it is shell space. So your users that are coming in here need to have a bit of capital on hand to be able to build out the space for the uses that they're planning on. And what we've seen, I would say, in the last 3 to 4 months is the developers and landlords willing to be a little bit more flexible on either tenant improvements or build outs for certain groups to get some groups into these units and build that momentum again. And so I would say that more so than the rates has been what has been adjusting the demand for these areas, because, you know, Kelowna has a ton of companies, and West Kelowna has a ton of companies, and you know, what we're seeing is these groups ready to make these next steps, but they require the capital to do so. And so it's a balancing act between the groups involved to make it work. And I would say that's the biggest thing that, you know, in conversations that we've been having has been the shift, is groups are coming together to work more as a partner and get tenants or buy these spaces. And it's definitely starting to draw and increase traffic to the site.
Nick, there, one thing that you mentioned there, West Kelowna. And every time I come through to the Kelowna office there, I'm always amazed just how big West Kelowna is getting, all the major tenants you see there on the retail side when you're coming through. You guys have a project coming up, a great project coming up there on Kyle Road in West Kelowna. Can you maybe speak a little bit to the West Kelowna industrial market and how that may differ slightly from the Kelowna market? I would look at it from a bird's eye view that I think there's great value in the West Kelowna market. What are your thoughts and what do you guys see?
Yeah, well, what's interesting about West Kelowna, it's gone through a identity change, I would say, the last 5 to 10 years, mainly because the population growth in that corridor has probably outpaced most regions in Western Canada. You know, Kelowna is the name for a lot of people that know the area, but West Kelowna itself is probably the one that had the biggest population growth over the last 5 years. For sizing. And there's just so many different buildings coming up. And as we always talk about, the residences that come into these cities are the growth first. And then what follows is the commerce that comes with that, whether it's new businesses or expanding businesses, or because of the population increase, people from outside of the market recognize that there's, you know, a growing demand in these areas, and they start to shift into the market from outside the region. So in terms of your comment there about, you know, what the market is we've been asked by a lot of our groups to find small bay industrial, or, you know, what kind of sizing is available out there that we want to buy or potentially lease. And I think the West Kelowna market has a bit of an easier way of approaching the supply, because there just isn't as much as there is in, say, North Kelowna, potentially Vernon, or even, you know, as you go further way down south below Penticton and that area. So, you know, a lot of the groups that we've been talking to have been asking us about space in West Kelowna, and we have this project, the Kyle Road Business Park, that's coming up, and it's strata for sale. And a big discussion point that we had with the developer about bringing this to market was tailoring it to the buyer pool that's in West Kelowna. you know, there isn't a demand as much for, say, a 10,000 square foot industrial bay or a 15,000 square foot bay. We have a lot of owner occupiers that are either small business owners or medium sized business owners or potentially larger groups from outside of the region that are looking to expand into West Kelowna and may not need as big of a space, but want to get the footprint going. So the project that we have here has a range from anywhere from, 1,700 square feet all the way up to a purpose-built 43,000 square foot strata unit. So we're really excited that this project's coming to market. We've had a lot of interest. We've had a lot of feedback in a positive way. And we're really excited to see sort of how this rolls out over the next month.
Now, can you talk a little bit just from a listener standpoint there? And I'm just going to use price per foot to make a fair comparison. If I'm looking as an investor or an end user, and I'm looking at a price per foot from a purchase standpoint, if I'm looking in Kelowna versus West Kelowna, what is the delta between the price points?
Exactly. So I'll use around the, Kelowna, around the airport business park.
Sure.
A lot of product that's come out has kind of been in between, kind of call it $425 to $450 a square foot.
Okay.
Now that ranges based on, the development itself. We've seen some different types of incentives over the past, call it, 6 months or so for some of those projects. So, in terms of West Kelowna and the Colorado Business Park, we're coming out below $400 a square foot. We're going to be, our initial release here for our first phase is going to be coming out at $390 a foot. So, there's a bit of a delta in between, call it Kelowna and West Kelowna, where this project's going to be coming out. From an investment standpoint, too, it's pretty interesting because, generally lease rates between Kelowna and West Kelowna have traditionally been, still fairly tight. We're not talking, $5-6 a square foot here. We're talking maybe, $1 to $2 a square foot, if that. And for a building of this type of quality that Lordell Development and Eagle Builders, the GC, is putting together, it's a pretty compelling proposition for sure.
So when I look at it from just an investment model, if I'm saving, arguably, let's say $450 on the high side for Kelowna and this project's launching at $390, so we're talking about $60 a foot. That's quite a bit. But my lease rates are relatively neck and neck, plus or minus a dollar. To me, from an investor standpoint, that would seem like a good opportunity to buy, where I'm getting almost the same price on the leasing side, but I'm getting a substantial discount on my acquisition.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, for a lot of reasons, West Kelowna makes, a lot of sense. We still see a ton of business crossover between, West Kelowna to Kelowna, and West Kelowna and its access and accessibility down to the south of Okanagan, Peachland, Summerland, Penticton, even farther south through Soyuz. It's got a pretty large, trade area. So, certainly quite a few positives in West Kelowna, and we're quite bullish just in terms of the direction West Kelowna has been trending.
Yeah.
Just from a standpoint, like Nick alluded to earlier, just the population growth alone, we see a lot of those businesses trail shortly thereafter, and it's a great place to live at the end of the day. We're seeing more and more people from the Lower Mainland. They're always moving out here. A lot of people from Alberta, people from Ontario. It's a great, great place in Western Canada and the world.
Now, is there businesses that can benefit from West Kelowna versus Kelowna from a logistical standpoint of not having to cross the bridge into Kelowna and then deal with the congestion in Kelowna? Is there businesses that can be better served being in West Kelowna, maybe to Peachland and to Summerland and stuff, not having to deal with the bridge?
Yeah, the bridge is obviously a pretty hot topic for everybody that lives in the region. And a lot of the stuff that we talk about with accessibility of space and inventory of this type of product is exactly to your point. Some groups may have a lot of their staff or a lot of their workers based on the west side that have to come into Kelowna, cross the bridge every day and eat up that drive time. It's not nearly as bad as people make it out to be. Comparatively to, say, a Vancouver or Toronto or Calgary or anything, it definitely can be an inconvenience, but I wouldn't say it's a big, substantial challenge to cross the bridge. But what the big difference is you know, some groups may want to do a project in Penticton, or some groups may want to do a project in Peachland or Summerland, and knowing that they can set up a home base in West Kelowna versus, say, North Kelowna, and, you know, you're not losing a couple hours a day moving staff around or moving teams around between projects because you have home bases in multiple locations. So in terms of competitive advantage to West Kelowna, I would say there's just a demand in that region that needs to be absorbed still. And there's a lot of groups that will say, hey, if I can avoid having to go out to North Kelowna, if I live in, say, a Peachland or Glen Rosa or, you know, parts of different parts of West Kelowna, there's going to be an appetite for groups to find something a bit more close that's of this high quality type of build that's for sale. And, you know, one of the things we haven't really mentioned is part of the facelift in West Kelowna, maybe not facelift is the right term, but the West Bank First Nation is an exceptional band in how they deal with property through their region. They're great to work with. They're very astute to the market, but a lot of their product that is on leased land does still create some uncertainty for groups that are looking to purchase. Not everybody understands the mechanics of what goes into purchasing, whether it's industrial or even residential property on leased land. So when we can provide a different product that's on freehold land, even though it is a strata product, it does give some buyers and groups and investors a bit more comfort around, you know, what that means and how to get financing for it and how to understand the mechanics of those transactions. And I think because our price point is where it is, we're going to draw a lot of interest because of that as well.
Now, one thing too that maybe it's just my question is if I'm looking at leased land versus non-leased land, because I think leased land, like you said, you know, there is some uncertainty that comes with it. There's also a stigma that comes with it. Let's just call a spade a spade. I mean, there's some stigma that comes with it because you don't actually physically own the land. Is there a price gap between what you can expect from leased land versus not free or a fee simple land?
Yeah, there's certainly a bit of a delta. We see it on the residential side and on the commercial side, Corey. You know, for example, there is also a industrial project on leasehold land that's been on the market for about 12 to 18 months now. They've kind of worked through their first couple of phases. So we do see definitely a bit of a delta on pricing for that just because of, we'll call it, you know, the bit of that, you know, stigma or whatever word you want to, you know, coin.
Yeah. Now, one thing too that I'm always really curious to get your guys' thoughts on is obviously the market's been trending, market's moving up. What are you seeing? What does the balance of 2024 and 2025 look like for the South Okanagan market?
Yeah, you know, like in terms of kind of where we're at and where we're trending, like it definitely seems, you know, like we're ideally, you never know where the bottom is, but I think it's definitely been a bit of a struggle to see volume transactions in the last, call it, you know, 12 to 18 months.
Yeah.
Kind of just anecdotally, like it does seem, you know, especially out of the lower mainland, some of our counterparts down there have certainly seen an uptick in industrial leasing and strata sales. And what we tend to find, you know, in the Kelowna, the central, the south Okanagan markets is we definitely lag behind, you know, markets like Vancouver, Calgary, Toronto. So it's usually a pretty good indication if, you know, they're starting to see more activity. You know, we're typically not too far behind. You know, even just from, you know, a personal perspective, you know, working on a two or three different mandates based out of the lower mainland, you know, groups that are starting to pick up, you know, more concrete conversations about, you know, securing space, whether it's Kelowna or Penticton right now. So it's been, I think we're definitely trending in a more positive light. You know, how long it takes to kind of get things, you know, back rolling to maybe where they were a couple of years ago, you know, that's still to be undetermined. But, we're definitely trending in the right direction based on, you know, some of these conversations we've been having over the past, you know, couple of months.
So is it a good time to get into the marketplace right now? Because I know everyone tries to time the bottom. We talk about it all the time, like, don't wait for the bottom. Is it a good time, whether I'm an owner, occupier, or investor, to now start looking if I haven't been looking to get in now?
Yeah, Corey, I think, you know, nobody has a crystal ball for sure. But what we're definitely seeing is that the groups that were sitting on the sidelines as interest rates were going up, waiting for that to find an equilibrium before they made their next business decision, whether it's, are we going to move forward with this phase? Are we going to build this tower? Are we going to wait until we have, you know, a bit more comfort and we'll call it balance of what we expect the economy to be? It's kind of interesting on the downside of this because, you know, we're starting to see groups come back to the table, projects starting to get the dust, you know, wiped off of them. groups that are sort of exploring previous opportunities a bit more in depth. And I think the residential side that we're seeing in the market here is kind of following the same concept where in buyers that we've been talking to, just again, anecdotally, they're waiting for rates to come down even further because they're sitting, hey, you know, if I can get a mortgage 50 basis points cheaper in December or potentially, you know, down the road here, maybe I'll wait a little bit longer to see what happens there. And then all of a sudden you're missing the timing of the market because if you get in now and you get the price points that you can, you know, in the market, whether it's industrial, commercial, residential, you don't want to wait. And so what I would say is in general, we're going to see probably a little bit of a lull here just in terms of activity. But I foresee the start of 2025 truly having one of those spring markets.
Where
things start to pick up because, you know, there's a bit more certainty around the economy. There's a bit more certainty around decision making. The elections will all be over and both here and in the States. And so there's going to be some interesting times over the next 4 to 6 months, I think.
It's a good opportunity now.
Yeah.
Well, guys, we know you guys are busy and we know we kind of carved out a little bit of time here for you. You guys know the drill here. We have a 6-pack of lighthearted questions we ask everyone before we let you go. We're going to ask you guys to hang out for a few more minutes, but we're going to start a little bit earlier on the 6-pack because now technically this is like a 12-pack. This is like a case. This is a full case because we got to ask 6 questions. We're going to get 12 answers. So Melissa, why don't you kick us off for our 12-pack today?
That's right. Okay.
It's a Friday. The 6-pack is powered by our good friends over at Redpoint Law.
Redpoint Law, Corey, Tim, Falco, Scott, and the team. These are great people with a wealth of experience when it comes to commercial closings and private lending. And I just want to say, Corey, not to cut you off, they have a perfect 5-star review on Google.
So for all your commercial legal needs, visit them at redpointlaw.ca with offices in Vancouver and now open in downtown Kelowna.
All right. First question, a book you would recommend our listeners read?
I'd say just because it's top of mind, I would definitely suggest the audio book, but Matthew McConaughey's Green Lights. My wife and I were listening to that in the car and definitely would recommend that to anybody.
Nick, you got one?
So, the book I recommended last time I was on. You must
today. Oh, so Shelby's cheating is what you're saying then. He's taking your recommendations. Yeah, always cutting corners, those guys from Alberta.
And I'm the same. I read a book called Atomic Habits, and there's so many different books on how to build habits, how to create consistency in your day. And it just does an exceptional job of making big changes feel small. By just doing, you know, small little things consistently every day that builds into a trend, that builds into a habit. And yeah, anytime I read those types of books, I come away with it being like, well, maybe it is easier than I think.
Yeah, no, that's a great book. It's a very motivating book too. When you hear it, if you're ever having a down day, listen to that, you'll start running home fast and leave the car behind. It'll be so much energy. All right, guys, next question up. Best piece of business advice you guys have ever been given?
Oh, I'll take that one.
Nick, go for it.
There's a quote that I always use, and it, you know, if people like you, they'll talk to you. If people trust you, they'll do business with you. So a big part of that comment is just that if you're not providing true advice and having your end user, whoever you're having this conversation with, keeping their best interests in mind, you're never really going to get that relationship built in the way that you want to. So getting groups to trust you is much harder than getting groups to like you, and it takes some time to do that. So
wow. That's a good quote. That's a good one. Yeah. Yeah. Shelby, you got one you want to share?
Mine was just basically one of my first years of being a broker. One of the senior guys, you know, after kind of a couple of tough weeks of, you know, deals falling apart and stuff like that. And, you know, dealing with, we'll call it a bit more of an aggressive broker. You know, he kind of just set me aside and let me know, like, just never, you know, just always, whatever your personality is, just never kind of shy away from that. And sometimes the more aggressive guy, you know, sometimes might get the deal done at the start of their career. But if you build good relationships, just, you know, kind of be yourself, like that's the way to, you know, win business long term. And so I've kind of always just had that in the back of my head, you know, dealing with different clients and, you know, just anybody in whether it's personal or business. And, you know, it's something I always kind of think back to and try to stay true to.
Great one.
Also great advice.
Also great one. Well, what's the next question?
All right, next question. Favorite movie or TV show?
your TV show right now. I'm trying to think. One of my all-time favorites is probably Peaky Blinders.
Oh, Tom Hardy.
Before we hit the record button, we were trying to figure out who that actor was. That's what she told me when we were talking, trying to figure out who Tom Hardy was. She goes, I'm like, I've never seen the show before.
Oh, great show.
There you go.
Yeah.
One of my favorite shows is Deadwood. So it was a limited series on HBO about the gold rush in Montana in the upper Northwest here. And they just doing a really good job of being historically accurate, but also really highlighting like to live in that era with some pretty solid entertainment.
I think I might like
that. Yeah, Melissa likes that. Have you guys ever seen the show The Viking? That's
no,
one
no.
show she
it's
always
Viking.
Oh, Vikings. So yeah. So maybe the panhandlers.
Similar.
There you go. There you go. All right, guys. Looking back on it now, what is one piece of advice you would give your 20-year-old self?
It kind of tailors into the same as the business side of things. Don't let other people's problem become yours. A lot of the time you try to make other people's problems yours because you want to help and fix them, but it tends to lead to a lot of stress and bad decision-making and compromising as sort of what Shelby alluded to there, just doing things that you normally wouldn't to try and appease other people. And it crosses so many different lines in that conversation. But for me, it's never making other people's problems yours.
That's good advice. That's good advice. Shelby, you got a good one for us?
I would say travel more while you're young.
Yeah. Yeah. I would second that one. Yeah. I would definitely second that one. All right, guys. Next question up. And this one, I'm giving you guys a softball because I think you know what the answer is before I ask this one. Favorite band? Favorite band? Think about your jobs. Think about your families at home. Favorite band? What band would you pick?
Well, last time I chose Metallica, which is still a comfy piece, but I'll switch it over to a singer-songwriter with Jason Isbell. He's kind of like an Americana artist out of the States, and his songwriting, I think, is probably the best of the generation.
So. Wow. Good.
Is he part of Nickelback?
Well, that's why I was trying to lead the witness there. And I'm like, think about your jobs, guys. Like, yeah. You got families to feed. Like, come on. And then Nick goes out of left field there. Like,
Nick didn't catch that.
Nick missed that. Maybe he's a Nickelback fan.
Well, no, I said we both can't say Nickelback at the same time.
Yeah, that's true. Sure you can. You can sure say Nickelback. All right, Shelby, favorite band or musician? Favorite band or musician?
Alberta guy, so I got to go with country. Chris Stapleton.
Oh, yes.
Chris. Oh, yeah. Melissa's an Alberta person.
Am I?
Yeah, well, no, so not an Alberta person, sorry, country person. So am I. I like country. Chris Stapleton, great choice.
Yeah.
All right, guys, last question up here. It's October, what's the date today? October 11th?
Yep.
October 11th?
That's right.
We just got into fall. The NHL season just started. Who's going to win the Stanley Cup this year?
The Edmonton Oilers, no question.
Yeah, Shelby jumped on that pretty quick. That's where he's from. Yeah, okay, I got you.
A couple of questions.
Okay, so we got Vancouver Canucks and we got the Edmonton Oilers. I would like to see the Oilers win because I'd like to see McDavid get a cup because, like, obviously they're in their prime. And I think right now, too, in the salary cap era of the NHL, you got to have more than just like one or two players to make it work. So when you get the nucleus that's kind of together in Edmonton there, he's got to figure out a goalie situation still. You'd like to see them capitalize on that because that in the salary cap era, that nucleus may not be able to stay together for as long. And it's too hard, I think, to win with just one or two good players nowadays. So I'm going to root for Edmonton. Obviously, I'm rooting for the Canucks. But my outside pick is for my oldest guy, Owen, who's a huge San Jose Sharks fan. And Macklin Celebrini last night in his NHL debut had 2 points. He's on pace for, I think, 168 points this year. He's on pace for right now. We're going to go with the outside pick as the San Jose Sharks to win the Stanley Cup. Not just make the playoffs. Never mind they finished last in the league last year, I think. We're going all the way to the top. So the outside pick is San Jose Sharks to win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, that's an investment bet there. You can put money down and win big.
You probably don't have to put too much down to win big. I'm sure a buck might return 1,000 because I don't think anyone else on the planet is thinking that. But for my oldest guy's sake, I'm going to go San Jose Sharks, Edmonton Oilers, Vancouver Canucks. But I do think one challenge we have on the west side is Dallas. I think Colorado had an off year last year. So for Edmonton or Vancouver to get that far, you've got a couple of good teams you got to get through, I think. So the West is looking pretty tough.
Yeah, definitely looking tough. But Connor will get it done.
Connor will get it done. After we wake up, Melissa here is falling asleep after our hockey talk. How can people find out more about what you guys are doing in Kelowna, how they can touch base about this new project you have coming up and all that fun stuff?
Yeah, so our information is on the WilliamWright.ca website. You can collect any of our listings, our contact information there. And then our project in West Kelowna is the Kyle Road Business Park. And if you Google that as well, there's a direct website that has all of the information on it, listing details, and additional plans for the site. We're also, I'm on Instagram and other options. And that's pretty good there.
Yeah, and like Nick alluded to, website's the best way to find me, and also on Instagram as well.
Amazing, guys. Well, thank you so much, as always. We appreciate you guys taking the time to talk all about the Kelowna industrial markets.
Perfect.
All right. Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thanks, guys. Take care. There you have it, folks. Our interview today with Nick Renton and Shelby Costas from William Wright Commercial Kelowna, all about the South Okanagan industrial market.
Exciting stuff.
Great, great opportunities exist. I really think, too, I think when you look at it overall from an industrial standpoint, we talked about this on the episode, is there was a surge of inventory that kind of all came to market. I don't say at the wrong time, but it was all coming up at once. We had interest rates that were moving and were starting to go up. There was an abundance of inventory. That asset class typically has your largest percentage of owner-occupiers to it. So they definitely will get stuck in the mix when investors start entering it, which I think we had a lot of investors enter, especially the small base strata stuff. They started pivoting and they got into that stuff, which is great investments for the people at the time. But now we almost got an oversaturation of inventory. But as Shelby talks about, when you look on at how much inventory and how much space they actually need in that marketplace for the next 10, 20 years, they're going to run out.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a tremendous opportunity right now. If you look at it from like a lull standpoint, again, not get rich quick overnight scheme, but from a lull standpoint, we're probably in an area, probably in the bottom of a market, because as interest rates come down, naturally prices are going to stabilize and they're probably going to go back up, because what's going to happen in the industrial side of things is you had a whole bunch of inventory come to market because there's so much product in the pipeline. That product hasn't been absorbed because the market's interest rates and the market has changed. Now a lot of future projects maybe are delayed, put on hold altogether, maybe not even come to fruition. So you're going to get like a gap of inventory, which is going to allow the existing stock to absorb. Not enough new stuff will come online. We'll have a gap there. Prices will get pushed up. Inventory will come down.
So what you're saying is now is the time.
Now's a great time.
Yeah.
Now's a great time. For anyone who wants to jump into the housing market and mm-hmm. deal with all that stuff, how can our listeners get a hold of you to buy and sell their houses?
Yeah, you can call me 778-869-4477 or send me an email at melissa@vancouverrealestatepodcast.com.
And anyone thinking about commercial, you can reach our office, our Vancouver office, 604-428-5255. Tell us what you're looking for. We'll put you in touch with the best broker in the province to help you. You can send me an email, corey@williamwright.ca. See there, I put the emphasis on the at there for no reason. Or you can go to our website, williamwright.ca, and sign up for the latest and greatest news.
Great.
Awesome. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you next week.
Have a great week.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Subscribe today.